Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, look who's decided to grace us with his presence.
Hello.
Satch, look who's here.
Hello.
Satch, we would say in Punjabi, Prana. No. Prana, yeah. Chala kia.
Yeah. I'd like to introduce myself.
Pakori lakia.
The piranha is here.
Yeah, the piranha piranha. The with the sharp teeth who keeps cutting into our schedule. But yes, Kej is back from his little week away.
Yep.
But we had Simon on last week. Thank you, Simon.
And also, can we just start with that, actually? Because firstly, there was a little bit of bants to and fro between me and Simon. Because he was, you know, taking a mickey, like, oh, he's going to be a super sub and you know, he's going to come and step up. And I was giving him bants that he was more like, you know, some sort of third grade West Ham player coming on. Like,
right.
He's not exactly super sub.
So he was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
He was. Do you know what? Do you know when you have to have, you've got to sit down and you've got to review the team again?
Oh, yeah.
It was that.
Wow. Am I in a sort of a little period here where I'm on probation?
No, you know what it is? Okay, Satch, you can find the analogy because he'll overplay his part here, Kedge will.
Yeah.
But what? Give me a footballer who's really good, but then when they went, but they were getting a bit complacent and not really respecting the team too much.
Ronaldo.
And then they went away and a sub came in who actually was hungry and was grateful for the game time.
It was a bit, if you're an Aston Villa follower this season, Watkins was on the bench quite a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
They had other mans just doing the job.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And it was a bit like that.
So who is he? Is Kedge Watkins?
Yeah, because he was just sat on the bench.
Okay. Is Simon Watkins
Simon came in and just banged the goals in.
And that's what, is that what Watkins did?
No, that's what the other fella did.
Oh, that's what the other fella did. There you go. So there you go, Kedge.
But class is permanent.
Kedgekins.
But can I just, I want to defend Simon, actually, because you guys absolutely rinsed him for saying that he plays chess.
Because he's lying. Because he was subbing him for you, and he thought maybe my role here is just to tell lies like you do. So I think he
but
really.
But you know, and that's why we cut from the same cloth, because he played chess. I play chess. I was a chess captain. I was from the chess team.
Of course you were. You know what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know what? The only reason, and I'm telling you now, people, this is a sick way in which his mind works. The only reason he bigged up Simon is to then mention the fact that he is, you know, I'm just...
No. I felt sorry for him because he didn't, he caved into you guys, whereas he should have really stuck his chest up.
He caved in because he was chatting shit like you.
No, he got scared by you two, and you guys are, you can be a bit overwhelmed sometimes.
No. We can sniff out a bullshitter.
We can
sniff out a bullshitter.
Did you hear what he slid in there? You can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. Now all of a sudden Ken's like, what about my mental health, guys? You're not making me feel included.
Shit.
No. Look, at the end of the day, if you play chess, it doesn't matter what level. We all played at a certain level. We could have been the grandmasters, but you know, our parents had other ideas for us. So you know, that's why.
If you were chess captain,
we had away matches, you know.
And what? So you could play chess at that level? You'd go to another school and take another kid on?
Yeah. No, I did, bruv. The chess club was in a library.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a small bus because there was only four of us in team.
So that's a car.
No, well, they had to take a bus.
Four of us and a driver.
You couldn't just go.
Yeah, we got a bus. What kind of bus was it? It was a Ford Focus. All right, okay.
They just couldn't take their own car, but it was you know. So, we used to play Buckingham College. We played a few.
What were they like? Who was a Magnus? Who was a good Gesh?
Who was
Domaraju?
I think it was me. To be fair,
No.
I wasn't the best, but I was the team captain.
So what is that? What were you there for? That banter? Were you the cheerleader?
No. I mean, I would play, but I was... I don't know why we had a team captain. I don't know the role of it, but I was the chess captain. Like, I had the shield for it.
I think that's a self-appointed title.
I had the shield. The shield like in Captain America.
No.
Captain Underwear.
Look, if Arsenal fans can, you know, celebrate as a shield, then so can I. And so that's where we're going to leave it at that.
But can I just say, all over my timeline, I'm so glad we spoke about it last week because I would have wanted to carry it on this week.
Yeah.
Oh, the masala tea is here. Thank you very much, sir. We're at Gunchen's restaurant, by the way, once again in Gants Hill. And we love these guys because
it's been a while since we've been here.
Well, I think it probably hasn't been that long. It's been about a few weeks. But flirting around with other restaurants as well. Are you not having tea?
No, I'm all right.
I thought you said you were feeling coldy.
Nah.
Hay fever.
Nah, but that'll keep me awake. I can't have tea.
Oh, really?
Really?
Tea doesn't keep you awake. Tea, coffee. coffee will. No,
it's got caffeine in it, bro.
Yeah, but the, apparently it's got more caffeine than tea.
What I mean.
More caffeine than coffee. But this is comforting. Masala tea is just more of a relaxant. But, I was all over my timeline this week, Gokesh Domaraju and the story behind this new chess champion that beat Magnus.
You're still going on about it?
No, because I've seen new videos. For example, I've seen a video.
Is anyone so obsessed with this?
No, I tell you why. It's a lovely story.
It is a lovely story.
Is Gokesh your son?
No, he's not. He might be. When I had that little fling with Julie Domaraju in South India somewhere, probably wherever he's from. No, but Gokesh Domaraju, look, the fact is, this kid.
Julie Domaraju?
Gokesh Domaraju, that's his name.
Oh, right.
Oh, Julie Domaraju's mum.
Right. I thought that doesn't make any sense.
That
was a real person.
No, because Domaraju would have got from his dad's side. Doesn't make sense. Maybe I had an affair with his dad. But he, but more so that when he was young, he says in a video, like Tiger Woods videos, you know, like, oh, one day I want to beat Magnus. Mm. You know, I want to beat the world champion and all this stuff. And then all these other videos of how he's got this little lucky thing, which honestly, I was watching it late at night. Mm. This genuinely put a lump in my throat. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. Look, I got sons, you know, you have that little bond thing going on, right? Yeah. But there's basically a little tradition when Gokesh, the chess champion now, when he's just about to leave, like, the holding room he's in to go into the chess room, as he leaves that room, his dad follows him out, and his dad stays by the door, like, really humbly, like, hanging back.
Yeah.
Gokesh looks around at him, looks at his dad, and his dad does a little fist, sort of like a tight fist, like, you got this. You
know,
like
he done what, Tim?
And he gives him a little fist.
Okay, just to G him on.
Takes him up the Domaraju.
Yeah. Love that.
Little Bumaraju. Right, you know, sorry, I shouldn't say that. I'm so sorry. It was a lovely moment, Satch.
You ruined it.
You put bad things in my head.
Ruined it.
No, he looks around, and his dad, like, you know, like, kind of, chuck the fatty putter. It's like that moment. Yeah. And then off he goes and smashes it. And I mean,
very Bollywood.
Yeah, no, it was even, you know, King, was it King Richard?
King
you know,
Richard,
that kind of understanding your kids, you know, doing then the best Charles. For them. No, you're such a shit. You're the poo-pooing over the story. But I just think,
it's funny you mentioned that the King Charles film as well, because this sounds
It's not King Charles, King William. King Richard. Oh, God, you got
King
me
Richard. Yeah, it's one of the kings. But the final Berger. Of the women's, the final of the women's at Roland Garros last weekend. Did anyone watch the tennis last weekend?
Oh, no, I heard.
Because it was epic, both the men and the women.
Everyone said it was
Coco,
big things.
Coco Gauff, the woman who won.
What's her name?
Coco Gauff.
Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
What a great name.
Great name. 3 years ago, when she lost
that you choke on, it makes you cough.
When she lost it, apparently what she did is on her book, one page, she just wrote, I will go back and win at Roland Garros. I will win. And she just wrote it as many times as that page could fit.
Oh,
and then she's come
God.
Back and she's won it.
Bro, I don't want to sound one of them, you know, manifesting kind of
you are.
Freaks, whatever.
But
I'm telling you, that stuff works.
Yeah, it worked for her.
And you know, people, and I'm going to say it my very little way, not that I've achieved that much, right? But when people say, oh, how come you don't get nervous?
Yeah.
Like before shows, whatever. Mm. And, you know, what do you, I picture them going well. I picture the shows going well. Although, but not just picture it, like, I know it's going to go well.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I do doubt myself and my little bit dirty comes out all the time when you're doing shows.
Yeah, no, but that shows that you care because I feel the same when I go to DJ.
Right.
I was standing in Ministry of Sound the other day and I was on after another DJ. And you know, you just stand there for a second and like...
Yeah.
The crowd's going to go mental when I go up.
This is me.
I got this.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you were going up against Buckingham and you knew that like they had like an amazing 12-year-old?
I didn't have the power of picturization at that age.
What did you have?
Just chess.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, just you. Yeah, I was thinking about the Queen's Gambit and all of that. So that's why I was...
I bet you were, you dirty boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
on the game.
But one place that where I was picturing for things to go smoothly was on the on my flight to Valencia.
That's where you were?
That's where I went.
Valencia.
Valencia. First, I'm going to say, what a beautiful city.
Yeah, I've heard.
But going there, right, I had
an
experience.
Where is it in
so
the country?
So south of Barcelona.
Okay.
Barcelona, south of Barcelona.
So it's not coastal, or is it?
On the coast. On the coast. Yeah, on the coast, okay. But just south of Barcelona, about 300 miles from Barcelona.
Okay, or a bit, right, Right, yeah. And it's supposed to be very beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
Why were you going?
Just a boys' trip, and just a bit of.
How long have you been on a boys? How long has it been since you've been on a boys' trip with Kedge, Satch?
Oh no, I wouldn't go.
You wouldn't go.
No.
But when was the last time you went on one?
With Kedge?
Yeah.
No, never.
Never. Cool.
No, just when we went to see the cricket. But so
we went to see the cricket. That we're working for it.
On the flight, I experienced something that I've never experienced ever before. And this is something that obviously Satch probably has never experienced.
Yeah.
I reckon you might have experienced this because Satch is so...
A girl saying she likes you?
No. Well, Satch not experienced
that. No.
But what happened is obviously we couldn't be bothered to pay for the tickets for the seats, so we just sat wherever they gave it to us. I got the middle seat. Fine. Okay, I'm cool with it.
No, you are the perfect middle seat, Banda.
Well, I know, because I'm so butler, so everyone can spread their legs.
Your shoulders are as wide as a ruler.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in my space. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So and the guy on the aisle is a slightly old Gora, big thugger lad, right? Yeah. I say lad, he was about 60, 65, okay. Maybe 70 actually. But he just slept the whole way. So I thought, okay, fine. You know, so it's a little bit annoying because, you know, I like to fidget. I like to get out and go for a wee. I had to wait for the opportunity when he could get, you know, open his eyes and I go, excuse me, can I just...
You didn't climb over? You could have climbed over.
I could have, but...
What do you mean you have to wait for that? No, you don't have to wait. If you need to wee, you just say, excuse me, please. Can I go for a wee?
Oh, no, you know.
No, I'll be honest. I don't think I would have either.
What,
no.
So you hold your wee?
Yeah, I
because
do.
Yeah, next man sat there.
I wait.
Don't
because I had a couple of beers before, so you know what it's like. He's going and I'm like, I need to go, but this guy's...
I'm sorry. If you're in the aisle, you need to be ready to get up a few times because you got two other people. That you need
but
to
I always find aisle people they get a little bit like sort of
no
miffed
you
a little bit miffed.
Chosen to sat there, that's the rule of sitting there.
Oh wow. So I don't know.
Get up.
But anyway, so I've got
I don't mind getting up. If someone tells me to, I'll be like, yeah, cool.
Anyway,
yeah.
The problem was we got on the plane late, right? So what that meant was my bag, I'd put it, there was no space, it was about 8 seats back.
Yeah,
who do you fly with?
Huh?
Who do you fly with?
EasyJet.
Okay.
EasyJet, rip off. Honestly, ask you to pay for every little thing. Anyway, so my bag has gone about 8-9 seats back, which has annoyed me already.
Yeah.
I told my friends, I said, we've got to be hurried up, we've got to jump in because I don't want... But anyway, they were late. We were late, we got on, whatever.
Yeah.
So that is stressing me out the whole trip because I'm like, I need to get that bag.
Yeah.
Anyway, but because we were in...
And that's at our sake at the end of the flight.
Yeah.
Because we were in the emergency aisle, we weren't allowed to have anything...
By your feet.
We were allowed to have any bags on the floor.
Yeah.
No.
Classic. Anyway, so I thought, right, when the plane lands,
I'm going
to
run.
I'm going to be that Indian. I don't care, but I need to go. And hopefully this bandha is going to be like getting up or he wants to, you know, stretch his legs. We land. And then, you know, I can hear the tuck, tuck, tuck. The belts are going. I'm doing it, you know, slightly exaggerating. Exactly. My man is not moving. He's just chilling. I'm like, okay, so, you know, like, we are about to stop now. A few people have got up.
Yeah.
When are we making the move?
Okay. So I know where this is going. Go on, keep going. So now everyone's kind of getting up.
Yeah. So I'm getting
their bags.
So I'm like,
and he's
now,
like
the, nope. Now the aisle's filling up.
Yeah. He's doing that. What's his approach? His approach to it is... No, his approach is, what's the hurry? We all got to get bags from the carousel.
We are Desi.
Yeah.
We can't handle that.
No. I'm not in a rush to get off the plane.
No, but
why?
I have to get the bag.
Yeah,
and that's backwards. Going backwards against the flow of tide is hard, bro.
Yeah, no, of course it is.
And no one's going to let you go. And my man's sitting there, and I am sweating.
Isn't that more of a reason in that situation for
to wait? Yeah, exactly.
Because you do need to go back. I'm just saying.
What are you going to rush off and do? Run to the beach?
And by the way, I love conversations like this. These are the little things in life. These are things that matter.
And I'll be honest with you, I have never, and this is why I'm talking about this, I've never experienced this. And even talking about it now, I'm sweating.
Why?
Because I'm sitting there and I'm getting FOMO because everyone's up. You've got the, you know, the real, the solid dads are like, right, kids, lads, you know, telling his missus, right, bag here.
Yeah, listen, right. Ready? Right, stay close together.
Everyone's
follow me.
Ready.
Right, we're either going to go out the front or the back. We'll keep an eye open. Okay, back's moving. Let's go.
And I'm sitting there and my fucking jaja is sitting there as well. And I'm like, I can't believe this.
You can imagine, you can just please picture this. Picture that kind of big Gordo guy.
And swearing.
Right? And picture Kedge who's just looking around, his neck's turning. Like a meerkat. He's trying to pass on the energy of, right, everyone, up we go.
Yep.
Look, this is me.
You guys would be absolutely taking the mick out of me because I'm there with the head up.
And you can imagine him just like,
to be fair, Tommy, if that was me and you in the aisle, we would have done the same if Kedge was in the middle seat. Long it out.
I would have looked at him and gone, you're right. It's just relax, mate. No one's going anywhere.
Anyway, so then it starts emptying. By now, half the plane's empty.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong
then
with that.
Then he moves. He opens the belt. I thought, oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
He takes his time. Bless him. His wife was sitting 3 seats behind.
Yeah.
And she had to wait for a wheelchair.
Oh, you're out of order,
Kesh. Yeah, you're out of order.
And that's why I understood why it was no point. He couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I learned an incredible lesson there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know what, Ked, just cut. Where were you going to go?
Yeah. Where were you? That's exactly what I said. Where were you going to go?
And I'd imagine that part of your concern was someone's going to take your bag.
Not even that. No. It was more that, oh, it was honestly, it was stupid.
Wait,
it was
you hand luggage only?
Yeah.
You just got him.
But it was just because, you know, like, because I've not done it any other way. So when you, you know what I mean? When you
have to missionary, just missionary only.
When you have to do a different position, it was just like, I was so stressed. And then I just thought, like, even now I'm sweating. And I thought, you know what? It's okay. It's a new way and it's fine. So, but I just had to explain that because that could happen to you. Just relax and enjoy it and read the magazine or something. And I wish I was a little bit more chill, but I've learned that for next time now.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is a different lesson.
No, you're right. But on that very quick note, because before I forget to mention it, I sat on my flight in Turkey when we landed and I just stayed sitting down because I'm like, well, I ain't getting up and getting a fine because remember what you said?
Oh, yeah, about Turkey. Yeah, yeah.
Turkey, people are going to get fined if they're going to get up and do the belt so often.
Yeah.
But by the way, everybody opened their belt while the seatbelt signs were on and everybody got up.
No one gives a shit.
And then, by the way, funny enough, you know, what you're saying, I had to teach Milo the lesson, right, which was about how, look, the flight's emptying out from the front. So he'd got his stuff. We're at Hollywood, arrive at Turkey.
Yeah.
He's ready
to
get off the plane. Right? And he's going, let's go. And I'm like, no. It's got to empty from in front.
In front.
Like,
you ain't going.
Yeah. You're not pushing.
And what did he say? He said something quite basic, but quite like, I didn't really have anything to say. He goes, yeah, but he goes, if we don't just get going now, how are we going to get ahead? Like almost looking at me like, are you a pussy? You just want to wait your turn.
Yeah.
How do you expect us to get ahead in life if you
that's
don't
why
try
me and
get
we're quite
ahead
similar. We're quite similar like that. It's like,
and I was like, there's etiquette, Milo. I said, everyone's got to go to the carousel.
No, I know. Yeah.
And
I
it's
know.
Not like it's a little 1 hour domestic flight or something like that. In Scotland, where people have just got a bag.
Yeah.
And those bag while you're going to go to a business meet.
Yeah, delays.
There's a lot of waiting around. Yeah. And like to the point where even I know where the plane parks in Dubai, how far the walk is to him. Do you know what I mean?
It's long.
But I remember, I think I went with Jags earlier this year. We walked for half an hour to get to immigration.
Yeah. That's one of the terminals in Mumbai.
So it makes no difference if you're 10 minutes on the plane.
You're absolutely right.
It's not going to make a difference.
You're absolutely right. So I learned that lesson. Also, I just want to quickly bring it to your attention that the local sort of drink and snack that you have there, because you know each city has its own little thing, is what's known as, the drink's known as a horchata. Yep.
What did you do?
Horchata.
What did you do
there? H-O-R-C-H-A-T-A.
So what does that mean for you? Because
sounds like you done say to the whore.
Oh, okay. Horchata means I want more. Horchata?
Oh, whore, yeah.
Like cheddar, like we would say in Punjabi. Like,
hore glassi.
Yeah.
So horchata, which is basically like a cold drink made out of chufa nuts.
Or chata.
Means lick.
To chat, like chutney, means to suck.
Yeah.
So whore suck.
Yeah.
More suck more.
Yeah.
More suck.
Okay, yeah. So I couldn't suck a lot of this because it tasted disgusting, I'll be honest with you. But it's supposed to be sweet. I just didn't like it. It was horrible. And then what you got to do is you have to buy that with something that comes with it. It's called a farton.
No way.
Yeah.
A horchata. And
but you've got to dip the farton in the horchata.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
What is the farton?
The farton is what looks like like an eclair, but no chocolate or cream in the middle. It's just got like a thin bit of sugar, like sort of topping on
like
it.
Like a little donut.
Like a long donut. Yeah. And that's called a farton, and you have to dip the farton in the horchata.
If this week you
I don't know why I said horchata like a Punjabi, but horchata.
Horchata.
Yeah.
This week you want to say something's gone mad and you want to say it's all gone peak tongue. Change it. It's all gone far tongue.
It's all gone far tongue.
Mate, life is far tongue right now.
Far tongue, yeah.
I'm dipping it in my horchata.
But that's why I tried it. It's not my cup of tea or drink.
All I want to do is dip my far tongue.
Yeah. So I did. Once the far tongue was dipped, once the far tongue was moist, it was nice. But other than that, but Valencia, what a beautiful place. The beaches are lovely.
Yeah.
Got my tan on, went into the sea. Beautiful.
It is lovely. Actually, you know what?
The vegetarian and vegan food. If anyone's going Valencia, hit me up. I have done the research.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Because it's Spanish, like their meats, though.
No, I know. This is what I thought. I'm going to have to eat paella the whole time. But it was none of that. None of that. I had some brilliant vegetarian and vegan food.
Nice. Well, I want to say I had a great night as well. I had a great night out last Friday.
Yeah.
Where?
I went to the Robbie Williams concert.
Oh, that's at the Arsenal Stadium.
Yes, it is. It's at Emirates. Yeah. That was the most difficult thing about
Were you there when you did that thing?
What thing?
When he said, how far is Arsenal from a European trophy?
Oh, no, I didn't hear him say that.
That was the other, I think that was the day.
Oh,
day after,
okay. I was like, oh, Tommy, if that was there.
I saw he had like Wiley and Lethal B out.
Yeah, that was the day after.
That was the day after.
So you got nothing?
No. I think I lucked out way better. First, number one, it was a Friday night I went on.
Right.
Yeah. He was there on a Friday and the Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday he brought out Lethal, Bizzle,
and everyone,
and like rappers.
Yeah, that was good.
Can I be honest?
Good.
No. It wasn't good.
It's a wrong audience.
It's a wrong. It was a. It was
but,
a. But, I actually.
No, no. But it was nice to see it. It was the wrong audience, but it was nice to see that gave them a lot of
right, 100%.
Because he did a little, freestyle over Lethal Business.
Yeah.
Exactly, which he shouldn't have done. So
no, I'm telling you now.
Friday was so fantastic.
Who is it?
He was so on the money. Now it doesn't matter about that who it was. I will tell you, but it was so on the money as a show.
Right?
That he knew his part.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He knew his part. I tell you what now. If he brought out Dylan Mendy, that would have gone down better than Lethal Bizzle, because I know that crap. I'm not even bothered by this, right? So I don't want to sound like one of the people that goes, oh, you know, where's the diversity and all that, because I'm not that, right?
Sounds like you are.
Well, no, I'm not. And I'm not bothered. I'm like, if you're good, you're great, you should be on stage.
No, you don't. I don't care about
South Korean band.
No, what I'm saying is, okay, so he brought out one of the things, he brought out Lulu.
Yeah,
Relight My Fire.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Right, that's a take that banger.
That's a banger. That's a banger.
Right? So to have Lulu.
I would have been excited for that.
Well, firstly, let me say this. You get to the stadium, Scott Mills from Radio 2 is DJing. He's playing party anthems. He's playing Tucker's Miracle, If You Believe Me. And all those kind of dance anthems, right? Yeah, and he's playing a bit of party stuff. Not quite Sweet Caroline. It wasn't like that. Yeah. But it was like dance anthems, party anthems.
90s.
Return of the Mac.
Love it.
That kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Yes. 90s. Now, that's key because obviously Robbie Williams is from that era, right? Mm. And that's what he represents. Take That, boy bands and all that. And then he comes out, Robbie. Oh, so they do that. Oh, then Rag & Bone Man performs.
Okay.
He is so good.
He's
right?
A great voice.
I'm only human. After all, don't put the blame on me. Right? Oh, and very understated. Like, he just comes out, bangs out.
Yeah.
Right? So that's great. And the sun shining.
Yes.
Me and the missus, we're in a good mood. We hadn't argued. Right. You know, one of those ones. You know, like, it was just a good day.
Yeah.
Right? We were having a couple of cocktails as well, which we don't normally do together because someone's got to pick up the kids up and all that next day. So
proper date night.
Right, proper date night. So the vibes are good. Yeah. We're in the auditorium. DJ's good. Rag & Bone Man's good. We're getting...
Auditorium is outdoors. Stadium.
Oh, yeah, stadium. Sorry, that's what I meant, right? Okay, so we're there. So we're in the... I'll tell you why. We're in the standing area in front. So we're only about 20 metres from the stadium, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
So all that's happening. Robbie comes out, big spectacular. He's dangling upside down and all that stuff.
Saw him dangle.
And you realise how many bangers he's got. Let Me Entertain You.
Many,
She's
many.
The One. Angel. Yeah. Rock DJ. Yeah. You know, there is enough, right? Mm. But then on top of that, he's got the Lulu song. And on top of that, he brings out Five, the boy band.
Oh, yeah.
Five will make you get up. Now,
so you were on that day.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So
brilliant,
by the way. I'm looking around. Yeah. And that's the first time they've performed together in like 20-odd years.
Yeah, brilliant.
But it fit. The night fifth.
Of course,
I actually thought, you know what, we'll top this off if we brought out Peter Andre. Mm. Peter Andre come out here, do Mysterious Girl, they'd go nuts. Yeah. They would have loved that.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's that crowd.
So that crowd, and he's working up and down, and his dancers are great. I will say this, I saw two black people and two Asian people, apart from me and my wife.
What, in the whole stadium?
All around me.
Oh, okay.
And
that's because they're all saving up for Arijit Singh, mate.
Maybe, right? Maybe. I don't know. But I thought, actually, I was a bit disappointed because I was like, I know Asians love Robbie. Right, and there should have been more.
Yeah. I don't think enough to depart with the hard earned cash.
Oh well, I think they missed out. Then if you didn't go, if you thought about going, because this man is pure entertainment, and I loved it. Because I'm not just going to say screw it. Okay, it's our podcast. I'm going to say it. He said the things that I think and feel all the time when I'm on stage, which is you're here to escape.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about what goes on. And I say it before every one of my shows as well. I go, let's not worry about the baguas that's going to the real world.
Yeah.
Right? The real world's gone crazy.
Mm.
And he says that. He goes, the world's gone effing mad. He goes, and I want to create a place where we can be free, we can have fun, we can get back to that. And this is that place. Like he had a pre-rehearsed piece. Yeah. Bro, I got goosebumps, right? Yeah. Motivate the crowd, changing outfits, dance is amazing, all the songs are great. And what he did was, he said, you've missed me, haven't you? He goes, we've missed entertainment like this. And I'm like, you're right. And people come up to me and they say, we miss you on the radio because they miss the entertainment that we used to do. It was all jokes. It was laugh. And he had the same banter and all that kind of stuff.
It was.
And he went, one of his jokes was, this is a brilliant joke. I'm sorry to give it. It's not really giving away his material. But he goes, I've just seen someone that I slept with from the 90s in the audience. He goes, that's embarrassing. Good to see you again, sir. Bang.
Nice.
Great joke.
Yeah.
Great
yeah,
joke, right?
Yeah,
right? Really. And so things like that. So he wasn't taking it too seriously.
Did he see your t-shirt?
Many people did. He didn't because I wasn't close enough to the stage.
Right.
But people were coming up and asking for pictures with my t-shirt. Because my t-shirt said, I love Gary Barlow at the front. But on the back, it said, but he ain't no Robbie Williams. Right. And I got it made, especially, because I thought it'd be funny.
You've been making a lot of customised stuff recently.
Bro, I found something. You know why? Because you go on these websites, and then they go, do you know, for only 12 quid, you can do this. For only 15 quid, you can know, like, why not?
He's got a t-shirt. You know, he's got a bag cover.
Yeah.
Check his boxes.
Yeah, exactly. We were surprised. All right, Brownload. And there was the official cameraman, you know, the big tripod, big dirty, broadcast cameras.
Yeah.
They went, oh, we were looking for you. Can you come over here? Can you hold your t-shirt out flat? Turn around. Can we see the back? Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks a lot. Go and enjoy the concert. So I think I'm going to make the DVD.
Okay, look out.
But seriously, proper entertainment, really, really good. And I know everyone is probably more excited about, what's his name? Ed Sheeran and... Arjit Singh and all those people right now. Because that's the hot thing in the Desi community. But I'm telling you, Robbie Williams, if anybody is a Robbie Williams fan and listening to this, he was so good and he absolutely smashed it.
And I think the reason why people are looking forward to Arjit coming in September is because the song that Ed's just put out. Has anyone heard it?
I heard it because it's been clipped up and it's all over the... But I don't know the name. Sapphire?
Sapphire.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sapphire.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
All I know, he goes, oh, chamma chamma nachi di. He does chum, a chamma chamma.
Chamma 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 chums in there.
Yeah, chamma chamma is it.
He's got Shah Rukh Khan's in the video.
Oh, wow.
That's what I mean.
Well, no, he's not in the video.
No, but he's in the video. What do you mean he's not in the video? He is in the video.
I've only seen Ed Sheeran like walking around. Oh, is it like in a montage?
In the clip. The whole video is a montage of just him being in India. And there's a bit where Shah Rukh Khan's singing the song. And it's just that one little clip. It might be like not even 5 seconds, but... He's in it, and when you see all the promo, that's all we see. Shah Rukh Khan
just jumping up,
and everyone's just like,
But the thing is, the track that we've got obviously is the English with Arjit Singh doing a bit of Hindi in it.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's done the full Hindi version, which is coming out in a couple of weeks' time. Ed Sheeran has.
Ed Sheeran and the whole song in Hindi.
Yeah. So he said, he's not sharing that now. He goes, but that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So watch out for that. That's going to be incredible. But you know, also, it's interesting because have you heard it on any national radio stations?
Not yet.
Right. I'm going to do a little bit of research and see if this gets played on national radio.
I don't think it will.
Really?
But it's on all the main playlists on Spotify and Apple and stuff.
Yes, but I've put a few people onto this and I'm asking people. And I went, right, can you let me know if the Capitals, the Kisses, any of the Hearts or any of these people, Magic, if any of them plays this? Because I think they're going to be very nervous about this and it won't get on the radio.
It's like Despacito.
I've already spoken to people at Virgin Radio and all of a sudden it's, oh, yeah, it's all of that I'm getting.
Really?
Mm. And yeah.
What?
And it's just interesting to see that, because all of a sudden Ed Sheeran, but Ed Sheeran is a bit cheesy and he changes a bit, you know, and that's all. So now it's turning into that now, you know.
That's interesting.
And it's interesting to see how the English community will play this.
I think it's a good song.
No, it's a great song.
I love it.
But
I think it's good.
On a production level.
I think we look at it differently because we're Asian. We're very proud.
Forget the Asian part. Just even if they scrapped all of Arjit out of it, it's a good song.
Well, if you listen to sort of a lot of the young people, they're thinking, oh, it starts a bit weird. It sounds a bit like Wussy's had the way it starts. It's like a ghost kind of singing and like some sort of seance happening. It's been getting a lot of pelters from just people. And I'm just like, Are we just being biased because it's our boy and it's like, you know, we feel proud.
I think it's a
moment for Asian people.
Yeah, I don't think it's catchy and hooky, but you're right. Ed Sheeran's got the power.
Mm. If Ed Sheeran can't get this on the radio, then there's no hope. We might as well just go back to just, you know, making Tepla back in the bin because we are never going to crack this otherwise.
You're right. This should be. This is the
litmus test. This really is. If this doesn't make the mainstream radio stations, we ain't got a hope in hell.
Oh man!
But I'll cancel that studio session I'd booked in for all of us.
Yeah, forget it. It's not going to happen. But I want to know how it would have worked with Arjit or whoever he was working with to write Ed Sheeran's lyrics in Hindi. Right, like
it was Arjit. If you read the whole thing, he said that he spent loads of time with Arjit Singh and he learned how to. Arjit taught him how to say all the words and everything.
Mm.
So okay, if you were Arjit there, would you not have stitched him up a little bit and gone, yeah, you got to say, mere kache de vich la 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 Because he's ginger, obviously.
No, but it's not.
But like
but you're going to do
you would have done that.
It's not Ajit Sandhu, isn't it?
That's no, I would have done that. No, no, honestly, that means I'm in love with a beautiful girl.
Yeah. And that definitely would have been on Capital.
Yeah, exactly.
Just message us. If anyone hears it on mainstream radio, I want to know which station played it. Because I'm intrigued. I just don't think it's going to get played. And it's only just going to be Sunrise Radio and
Asian I think it's a good song.
Ah, okay.
I like it.
Yeah. So there you go. Ed Sheeran and Robbie Williams, two British legends.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
But actually, I'm going to celebrate something that is Indian.
Oh.
You'll be proud of this because, as you know, I feel like I'm such an old man.
This feels like a little...
I'll tell you what, I'm such
an old man. This feels like a little body update, body revelation.
What are you picking up from India?
Okay, right. So as you know, like over the years, I've had knee problems, hip problems,
I knew it.
Back problems, and I'll tell you now, for the last few weeks,
sack
and I
want, problems.
Well, I'll come to that.
Problems, did you say?
So yeah, no, right, but so I've been in a world of agony. Satch, when we went to Dubai,
we did our quiz, mash up
all that day. I was so excited about being in Dubai.
Yeah.
That day of the Dubai quiz night, bro, I stayed in my room all day. Mm. We went out and bought a massage gun because I needed it because my legs and my hips are in agony. I get this kind of spasm in my hips.
Yeah, what is the update on that?
Right, okay. So I'm good now, right?
Oh. Because did you have an operation?
No, I had that injection. That was a steroid injection. Yeah. Then I've been speaking to the back pain clinic special people as well in Birmingham who have said, come down anytime and we'll give you a little sort out and, you know, help you out.
So but what baba have you shipped over from India?
So then I'm in pain and all that. And then it's starting to ease off. And I go back to the physio and the physio goes, basically, this is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So this is the root of it. So I'm using a bit of a massage gun on it, trying to loosen it all up, trying to do these stretches. And then I was going through the gym lobby area.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, David Lloyd's Hatch.
Yeah.
They have like people do little pop-ups.
Yeah.
Earrings, women's sportswear, whatever. There was a bloke there and he does loads of oud.
Okay.
Right? The
scent.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, and obviously for all the kind of people that are around me, you know, that kind of Essex-y lot, they love all that.
Oud, by the way, can I just say, it wasn't actually an aftershave perfume. It's actually a scent that they put in the house, like Agarbatti.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Right, okay. But anyway. it's got a nice smell to it, but it's getting quite common now. A lot of people are smelling of it.
Yeah.
And
people smell of bad it, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Not the good stuff.
No, they're just buying all that cheap stuff. And
it's the cheap stuff.
It lingers on fridges and it stinks.
You can smell the bad stuff.
Oh, okay. Do you know the difference? Okay, I don't think I'm that well versed in it. But then, so I go past that guy like I do. I see the oud and only the oud, right? And I'm not in the mood
for
oud.
Not in the mood for oud.
Right? So I then carry on walking and then I see my cousin, right?
Okay.
What was he telling?
No, he was coming out, he was coming out the gym and he had his shirt on because he's going into the office and he was sweating.
Yeah.
And I went, bloody hell, bro. I said, you know, you're still sweating. And he goes, no. He goes, it's not that. It's the stuff I've got from this guy. Mm. I went, what? The smells? He goes, no. The deep heat stuff that he's got.
Oh.
I went, you what? He goes, and then he went, oh, because he has a bad back. And he went, how's your hip in that? I went, man, it's in agony all the time. He goes, this stuff's incredible. So I went over to the guy, and the guy, he was brilliant.
Give me your finest.
He gave me a very soft selling. He goes, honestly, and he goes, it's a roll on, and he goes, anywhere you've got pain, it'll get rid of it, right? I went, oh yeah.
Did you roll it on your missus?
Yeah, exactly. I roll it on my missus, my in-laws.
All of his family members.
HMRC. Yeah. I went, there you go, let's roll it on them.
Kedge.
I'm immune.
Right. I go, what? And obviously my cousin goes, he's looking at me with his eyes wide open. He goes, bruv, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
He goes, it's unbelievable.
God, right. What's it called? Right? What is it? Okay. Like some magic potion.
I look around at the guy. Who's selling it? And I went, and I opened the lid on it. It's like a roll-on thing, I went, oh, it's like deep heat. And his exact words were, he goes, no, it's not deep heat. He goes, it's deep heat. I think it's deeper.
It's deeper.
No, he goes, plus. Oh. Is what he's exactly words were.
Deep in there.
He goes, full deep. Full plus, deep. Plus.
Right. So right? And you carry it with you.
Right. And he said, like a roll on. It's about the size of a, you know, like a deodorant or a glass. About 4 or 5 inches high.
Yeah.
And it just says right across the middle, like, here it is. This is it. It says, advanced back pain roll on, is what it says.
Yeah.
You can hardly even see the make.
What country is
it? Where is it from?
No. Yeah. And he said, this is from India. And his exact words were, he goes, bro, I don't know what them lot are putting in this shit, but it's amazing. Those are his words. He goes, I don't know what they're putting in it. What
and
is
you
that?
Bought this off yeah, this fella. Look, who said that?
And look, and by the way, the logo on it, it said they're established since 1893.
That's a lie.
Pure, yeah. Healthy essence is what it says, right?
It's a really bad logo.
Amrutanigar.
Amrutanigar. Is that an N at the end?
No, it's an R.
Is it? No, because look, it looks like that N.
So is it N?
It's either Amrutanigan or Amrutanigar.
No, no. Amrutanjan.
Amrutanjan.
Oh, is that J? Yeah,
oh, Amrutanjan.
Yeah. Amrutanjan.
Amrutanjan is the make.
Amrut.
Right?
It's Ayurvedic.
And it's got 100%, say that, Sach.
Ayurvedic.
Yeah, and what's that? It's got no what?
Diclofenac.
Yeah, it's got no diclofenac. I think that's like a pain.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? At least it hasn't got any diclofenac in it.
It says 100% Ayurvedic active ingredients.
Can't be rolling on diclofenac,
no,
can you?
Right?
It's bad for you.
Starts working in 30 minutes. Look, pain specialists, these people are, for over 125 years in India, right? This roll-on.
And look, that's not an Indian lady on the thing.
Trusted by Mirabai Chanu.
Yeah,
she is the international champion in weightlifting.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Long-lasting relief. Power of?
Capsicum.
What's capsicum?
No, capsaicin.
Capsaicin. Basically, you're right. Okay, so this thing is a deep heat.
Yeah.
Amrutanjan, right? Amrutanjan.
Yeah. Amrutanjan.
Amrutninja.
But my word, it's a fire that's borderline scary. Because when you put it on your skin, you think, now that ain't right.
How much was
this? If this goes anywhere near your groin.
£10.
Worth it?
It was.
He is making about 1,000% on that.
Yeah, yeah. He bought it for 10 pence.
It was a miracle. I don't know.
Are you endorsing it?
I'm not endorsing it.
No. Tommy's going to be the next.
I went back to the guy and I went, I need 3 or 4 more of those.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And you know, I'm paying for them. And he goes, I've only got a few left. He goes, let me see if I can get hold of some, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he goes, but he's from India. No. It's like, but actually, you're right, the one on there looks Thai or something, yeah, Asian, yeah, or something like that.
But it looks like you can get from India.
Right. It made my hip pain go. It made my groin pain go. It made my lower back.
You rubbed
me
on your groin.
Well,
bruv, you gotta be careful.
Can I be honest? I put it on the inside of my thigh. Right.
Oh my god.
Now I'm sorry. My family listen to this podcast, but let's just say when that bit of my thigh touches other parts around there.
Yeah.
Jaffing. Oh my god.
Jaffing.
I actually felt like crying.
Yeah, I bet.
That's
like double mint.
Balling.
Double mint shower gel.
Bro, it's worse than that.
Yeah.
Honestly, on that note, remember tea tree oil? Mint tea tree oil.
I like that. I still use that.
You know what? I use that. If I see it in a hotel,
I use it
because it makes my head tingle.
I love it. I use the shampoo.
Favorite
shower gel.
Yeah. And that is nice, right? If that is literally 1% of what this is.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But pain's gone. Pain is gone.
So are you pain free now?
I'm virtually pain free. I've still got a little bit of restricted movement because I've got osteoarthritis.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm getting in and out of the car fine.
Wow.
He actually said use it 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah.
But it was, I'm telling you, so big up.
Be careful, it doesn't burn
I'm
holes
pretty
in your
sure
body.
Whoever's got it into this country has done it illegally.
It's got to be.
Because I don't think things like this are, you can just get anywhere and everywhere. Big up the people, big up the good people at Amrutanjan, Pure Healthy Essence.
Who are sorting you out.
Because it works, man. And I don't know, like I said, okay, cool. I'm going to quickly have a look at the ingredients while you get ready for the next bit, right? Oh, look at that. First thing that's in there. First thing that it says is in there. First word is?
Pudina.
Pudina.
Yeah.
It's got mint.
Yeah.
Pudina.
But it hasn't got diclofenac in it.
What's that one, Kesh? What's that second one? Second ingredient under pudina?
That would be Gandapura. Gandapura Patra Taila. Taila. And then it's got Karpura in it.
He's a tailor. He does your suits as well. He can do
it. Gandapura Patra Taila, Karpura Lavanga Taila. I'm guessing it's tail.
That just sounds like a South Indian song. Katuvira. Gandapura Nanga Taila, Nanga Taila, Vanga Taila.
Katuvira.
Yeah, huh?
Katuvira as well. It's got a Katuvira base. I mean, it has to, isn't it, really?
Yeah, just
brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, okay, fine. I thought you might actually do that. But look at that. So there you go.
I mean, it's not ingredients you're going to find in boots,
are
you?
It actually says relieves...
I don't think it's ingredients that's been okayed by the British health and safety people.
Do you know what I mean?
Relieves from arthritis, pain, backache, muscle strain.
I reckon that would be C's.
Yeah. You're going to find that super dry, are you?
It did smell like someone's bum hole on the outside. So maybe some guy had to bring it into the country harder. But I appreciate the effort, bruv. I'm just saying.
You know, at least you're using real sort of stuff that you can touch and hold, but Katie Price is using something that you can't touch and hold. But did you hear about this story about Katie Price?
No.
Formerly known as Jordan from back in the days, to me and you, Tommy, anyway, back in the 90s. She has done something. She's become the first British star.
Ain't she broke?
Yeah.
She's broke, isn't she?
Well, I don't know where she's found the money to do this, but she has become the first British star to trademark her own artificial intelligence image. And she's going to be bringing it back as Jordan. So what this deal means is that she has to say 30 phrases.
Right.
And it all gets recorded by this company. And then they produce a walking, talking 3D version of Jordan.
Jordan. Like digital, AI, on your laptop.
And so she had to say phrases like, I like horse riding. And this week for dinner, I've got beef burgers. I don't know why these phrases in particular, but anyway. And she said, and she's told the Sun that these were the best days of my life. And this is why I wanted AI to get involved with this. This is so clever. This is a genius move. And it makes her feel like at her best again. She said, Jordan's back. Get ready.
Well, she's not back.
But so you've created a cartoon character. Yourself.
It's not a cartoon. It's actually AI. AI. So it looks like
it. But it's still not real, is it?
A really good CGI of yourself. And?
Yeah, but you're not going to know if it's real or not real soon. Do you know what I mean? If that comes on telly, you're not going to know if it's real or not.
Yeah, but then.
It is because she's
real. Because you see, not Jordan she looks at the moment.
Yeah.
No, it's Jordan how it looks like how it was back in
the day. No, but that's what I mean. So
that's how I know.
I see what you mean. No. But she's going to be doing so.
So I mean, she can just work. She can carry on working under her image.
Yeah. And so therefore, what I'm trying to say is you can get Jordan to model your lingerie. You can get Jordan to sell chutneys. All of a sudden, it opens up a whole new revenue stream.
Yeah.
Because Jordan was when she was at her peak.
Yeah.
Right. So therefore, she said that this is going to be brilliant. It's game changing. It's a new business venture that she's going to get into. So she's going to use it for OnlyFans. She's going to be using it for TV shows, for everything. There's only one other person who's done this. Carmen Electra. She's done it at stateside as well. And she looks like she's going to be raking in absolutely millions of pounds from it as well. But
Tommy, you should jump on this then. First brand.
But
fella.
Was the first one in the metaverse, but you could be the first one with an AI because I think it's genius.
No, but more so than that. Right. What I'm thinking now is, so really you can use the official Jordan image, right? To, like you said, to advertise products. You can use Jordan over the years. Now, what about the actual real Jordan, right? Michael Jordan.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
So theoretically, I could get, if I had bought the rights, if I approved it with Michael Jordan, I could get him jumping.
He's not going to approve that.
No, but I could get him jumping from the free throw line and dunking a pot of chutneys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You could.
You know what I mean?
But this is what,
and even jumping in the air, having a dip of a bit of food. And then sinking the 2 point. And I'll go, look, Jordan, you ain't got to do anything.
But I think this is going to be, yeah, but they're not going to let you do that.
No,
Bruce Willis was the first Hollywood actor to sell his image rights and everything digitally too.
Yeah.
So that they can use them in films and all of that. The voices are being recorded. And you know what I was thinking the other day, guys?
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know what? When we move on to the afterlife and the Brownload is no more, we have recorded a hell of a lot of voice.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's not. I mean, people are already creating avatars of people who are no longer around, but they've got a little bit of voice footage, and they're recording it in, and they've got actual computers that can actually create the human being, right? And speaking, you can then speak to them because they use the same sort of language model like OpenAI and all of this kind of stuff. And you can then talk to maybe your father or a cousin or a grandmother or whatever like that. And I'm just thinking, imagine how much language we've got out in the world.
Right. So you can, like you say, exactly that. So you could go, hi, whatever the app is that you're going to use. Do a podcast with Tommy Kedge and Satch based on the Brownload.
Yeah.
And then it can... within seconds
that can be done.
I mean, for me, there'd be a lot of abuse for Kedge.
Yeah,
there would be a lot of that shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
there'd be a lot of swearing.
Minimal.
Yeah, minimal, which one word is.
You can look at the word count of Satch versus Kedge versus
Tony. Minimal.
Right, exactly. But the effect is the same. And exactly that. But it would look at the characteristics, the language, what you say and how you say it, and the, you know, all that, and build that. And you're right, and that's only going to get better.
Well, you can do that anyway.
And it's like, I want to see Tommy do the brown load with a bikini on.
Bro, I saw, fine.
You can.
People can pay for it.
But you don't need AI, you can just ask him.
Yeah, and obviously, if you go for enough brown loads, you'll probably see I come into shot.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that, you know, anything's possible then.
Yeah. Anything is possible.
Yeah. Matt,
I want to dress Kedge up in, I don't know, cucumber.
I'm telling you, in the lifetime of this podcast, you'll be able to kind of hit a button and it'll be my voice kind of going, donde es que no más.
Oh, yeah, in different languages.
Fully in Spanish. But it's my voice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And your voice doing it in, you know. Yeah. Or, you know, and imagine in the AI cage, you could be like a chess champion. You could actually be like chess captain.
Oh, yeah. That
something
yeah.
real. Something yeah, real yeah, like that.
Because no one's going to. I mean, everyone's fake anyway on Instagram at the moment anyway. It's only going to get increased that. But so there was that. That was obviously the big news from Katie Price, and you know, something that she's going to do, like, which was a genius bit of work.
And by the way, Katie Price might be the first and whatever. Let's be honest. There's going to be a lot more interest in other artists,
of course,
and other people of notoriety.
Oh yeah, of course.
No, but that was Kedge's childhood, so he.
Yeah.
But that's why.
Do you know the? Can I do my Katie Price story? Right, which is that she was on, because obviously I worked on Blind Date, as you know. She was on Blind Date as a contestant.
Oh. Right.
They were going to put her on, and then literally just before they were going to put her on, because that was back in the day when Blind Date was clean cut, ITV, primetime viewing, right? They're going to put her on, and she went, oh, I've just got a call from the Sun.
Mm.
I've got this, you know, legit from the producers. This is the story. Mm. I got a call from the Sun. I've been given a page-free modeling job.
Wow.
Right?
And they
went, we're not using you.
Yeah.
We're not using you. This is Blind Date, family show. Yeah. Nowadays, anyone are like, what? You're going to be in the Sun newspaper?
Let's have it.
Let's get her on the show. That'd be good for ratings.
Like Love Island.
No, they went morally. No, that's not right.
It's the opposite.
And actually, before I went on Blind Date, I remember being in a room, and just come to me now, and they say to everyone, right, has anyone in here made a sex tape? Right? And I laughed, and they went, if you, and they were dead
and
went,
you said,
they went, if you have, speak up now. I went, no. I said, I haven't. Like, I'm like, I'm 18 years old. Yeah. I haven't done anything.
Also, how am I going to get hold of my dad's camcorder?
Yeah, exactly. I have to get the guy who did the wedding video at my cousin's wedding and ask him to come round.
Yeah.
And the camera he's got comes with a massive bar.
And it's got that funny and it's got that lens with the five men floating around it as well. So,
if you want to see me shagging a kaleidoscope.
Yeah, exactly.
And Chandni from a LARP in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Chandni from a LARP, he's in his Ed Sheeran.
That's a good soundtrack for a porno.
And then you're jumping out of a bush and stuff.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Someone should actually film that, like, you know, that kind of adult movie in that style, right. Asian wedding style.
I'm sure they exist.
Can I tell you something?
That would be hilarious.
I did. That was an idea I had. But obviously, I wouldn't be allowed to do it. My mum wouldn't be so upset. But I thought,
what, you want to be in a porno?
No. I thought, no, you should charge people to pay to be in their own porno. If, you know, if it's done
what
tastefully.
Do you mean? Like, I can pay to get Tommy in my corner.
Like porn stars get paid, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're agreed to do it. So imagine there's some rich banker type guy who wants to be in a porno.
Yeah.
Right? Then you create a location, you get the lighting, you get the plot, you get the add-on characters, you get Kedge coming
around. Oh, so they can be the star of their own
They're starring their own porno.
No, but this idea is so old now. Like,
why?
Because now
you can AI it.
Well, no, but also everyone's just making their own anyway.
Yeah, but wouldn't you not want to do an official one with camera angles and lighting? And
I don't think anyone cares anymore.
No, I think they would care.
I don't think camera angles is a big thing.
Nah, bro.
Bonnie Blue.
You putting it down the end of your bed at the Ibis is very different to what they want to do with cameras.
I don't know about that. But can I just...
So it's like, you know, Uber porn or like Airbnb porn.
No, but you're kind of... No, it's more like what are the bike hire things? What are those bikes that you can hire?
Yeah.
Like, so you get to ride your own bike.
Okay.
You shoot it, we shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shoot, we shoot.
Yeah, you shoot, we shoot. Everyone wins.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, and on another scale of creativity, I just want to say that I was watching the Apple keynote speech that happened on Monday night. And it was the usual Apple fluff.
You went from making your own porn.
No.
to Kedge watching the Apple keynote speech.
Mate, that was better than porn. Anyway, the show
He's
finished.
Serious, you know.
The show finished, and then.
By the way, your updates are rubbish, Kedge.
I agree. They're not the greatest. I agree.
We had this stuff on our phones 10 years ago.
I didn't realize that. You know, Samsung went and Apple were working together. And then Samsung basically did the dirty on Apple, and they stole all the ideas and everything. And that's why they're in massive rival. And Steve Jobs has basically said, "Oh, I will crush them," because basically they took all the series. Anyway, that's another story. But they ended the keynote with something that was so creative, and I loved it. And what it was is it just went blank, and then it was just like a little spotlight on a piano player, and the title was the best app review song. And I thought, what's this about? And what they did is Apple flashed up the reviews of all the different apps that are on the App Store, yeah. And people have left reviews, but really sort of slightly comedic, funny kind of reviews. And this guy was just singing them as they were appearing. And it was so clever and so good. And I thought, wow.
Singing, like how...
He made a song.
Like how you get TripAdvisor songs or whatever, TripAdvisor reviews. So someone just kind of...
Yeah, so if it was just like let's just say...
So when you go to the App Store and you go, wow, this really helped design my lounge.
Short reviews. Yeah, or 5 stars plus one. And you know, like people write with, you know, if I can't believe this app is for free. But the way he was singing it, all made it fit and everything.
That sounds crap though, I've been in this case.
No, it was so good.
But it wouldn't rhyme.
No, but they fit it. Obviously, he spent a lot of time on it, and you know, they fit it, so they all rhymed and everything. It was so good. But I was thinking, what if you went to our reviews, Tom? I think you should give it a go.
Okay, right. So on our podcast,
yeah.
So people, anybody can do this, by the way. You can leave a review for the podcast.
Yeah,
you
do. Yeah.
And it does help because people look at that stuff. I look at reviews all the time on if you go into a restaurant,
yeah.
And it'll go reviews, 2,000. Mm. Reviews, 34. You go, oh, leave the 34
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no, you've got
to. You know, go tell one. So
I think you should just do the titles because okay. I don't think you should go into detail.
Okay, so it'll go.
This review is titled,
Why can't we have
D,
right? So you go, why can't we have a D? Then you go to another one, right? And the next one is best podcast in town. Brilliant living legends always make me smile. Your podcast is very good. These lot make me laugh. Like that, is that right?
That flow really
no,
well.
Yeah, no, the, yeah.
Next verse.
simple and effective podcasting it is.
It's called you simple.
Oh, it gets me excited. I think I want to jizz. No, it doesn't say that.
But we need more reviews.
We need more reviews so we can make a song out of it.
Yeah, please.
So write a review, give it a little star rating, yeah. And
Go to Apple Podcasts.
No, and Spotify. Do it on there as well.
Yeah, do it on Spotify as well. But that was genius. Good effort, Tommy.
Have we seen anything on TV? Are we going to...
Well, can I just briefly, we know I've seen a lot, but I just want to quickly mention that I just accidentally switched on American Manhunt, Osama Bin Laden. It's three parts.
It's good. I've started watching the first part. It's good.
My God, I finished 2 episodes and it is brilliant.
Because they've got
ex CIA agents talking and they exactly, you know, from the moment it was bombed and it brings back. Do you remember watching it happen live?
Of course.
I remember it, and I'm watching it and all of that. And then you're like, but then you understand this manhunt to find Osama bin Laden. It's wild.
Where were you when you saw what was happening?
I was at home. I'd just come back from uni. I don't know why. It was a Tuesday, I think it was. Mm. And I was
Wednesday
or Tuesday. Yeah. And I had to babysit the gaff because we had the painters and decorators in. So I was in the living room and I'm just, the telly's on. I don't know why the telly was on. It was Sky News. And I'm just watching it and I'm thinking, oh my God, that's bad, isn't it? One of the buildings was already on
fire.
I think Sky News switched on when one of them was on fire.
Yeah.
And the next minute you see the second plane and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
I remember hearing it on the radio.
Really?
Because I was being picked up from school by my dad that day and it happened at that sort of time. And then I got home and I turned the telly on. But yeah, you never forget.
Exactly. It's a big story, but Netflix do this very well.
Yeah, very
so
good.
So reality, I think it's way better than films on that they show on Netflix.
Yeah,
agreed. The reality stuff is way better. So the thing that I was watching, and I've done 2 episodes,
yeah.
Is Fred and Rose West.
Oh yeah.
A British horror story.
Yeah.
Right,
shocking.
Now I'm. This is really bad of me, really, because I should have known, right? Because
it's like Rosie and Jim.
I didn't know the details of the case. If you had said to me 2 weeks ago, before I watched an episode of this, Fred and Rose West, I'd go, yeah, murderers. Then what do they do? I'd be like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, no.
And actually, I said it to one of my mates. And he went, I think it was Simon even last week. He went, they're the ones that buried. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. So this was in the 90s, and it was probably at a time when I was just about to go to university. It's like early, mid-90s, that kind of time.
Yeah. I've never heard these names, by the way.
Right.
Really?
Exactly, bro. No. But when I mean this is one of the most notorious killers of all
time. Big case.
Time,
big case. Right?
So basically, they're a couple. They had like a guest house. Lots of people coming and going. They had loads of kids.
Yeah.
Themselves. This all sounds a bit weird already, doesn't it?
It is exactly that. But because of the weirdness, and actually, I won't say too much. He sort of, Fred West confesses quite early on in the series, in episode one.
Guilty.
Right? And he tells him, he goes, yep, body's buried there. But then it's the unraveling of it, the finding the further bodies, the way in which he just talks about it, bruv. Like, and then I cut the body up. And you're like, what the hell? Honestly, it's scary. It's spooky. It's dark. It's really well made. Then because it's set in Gloucester, a little quiet place. Mm. You know, their street goes down in history as being that street where all this happened. So I don't know. I highly recommend it. If you want to watch something like you love the Osama thing, I think equally you'll love this. That actually happened.
Yeah, we've got to also wrap up the Brownload FPL.
Yes,
Satch,
that's the thing that I've been watching actually because it was done and dusted.
Did I win it?
He's already. Yeah, Tommy was the winner.
Tommy is already
with 200 points all season.
I tailed off.
Okay, which way should we go? From the top or from the bottom?
Of the top three people.
Yeah, or no, just generally.
No, let's
well,
just.
Firstly, where
shall we do top three? Shall we do us? Shall we do us first?
Well, it doesn't really matter, but yeah.
No, let's do the people first.
Okay, so in reverse order, in three, number three, Asim Khan.
Yeah.
Drop it like a slot.
Liverpool won.
2,500 points.
Liverpool manager.
Oh, okay, sorry.
2,500 points.
Yeah.
2,500 points.
That is massive.
Okay.
The runner up, Jay Purwal.
Yeah.
Right, who's my nephew?
He's match fixing.
And he said to me, he goes, and by the way, Jay is super bright. He's just done his GCSEs.
Now, let's kick him out then.
Let me tell you something quickly about him. He was around the other week and we were watching the 1% Club two, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The final 1% Club question thing came up.
Yeah.
Right. Got it. And it was a load of letters jumbled up. Loads.
Yeah.
About 20.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'll know why. And before the clock started he said the answer. And the letters were all jumbled up, A, D, L, E, but it spelt a needle in a haystack.
Wow.
And he just saw it and went, needle in a haystack.
Wow.
Right?
How old is he?
16.
GCSE, I don't think he's old enough to enter our league, though.
I looked at him, I went, is this a repeat? Like, how did he get that?
So it's a repeat.
So the fact that he's second in the league, he'll be very well chatted about. Well done, Jay.
2,523 points. And the winner of our Brownload League, number one, Bobby Gore.
That's my mum. Oh my God. What are the chances? Mum! But they have that, no mum.
Bobby Gore. FC 27, 2,595. So he's 95 points ahead of
incredible.
Incredible. Third place.
And all new names.
2,500. What did Jay get?
2,523. So he's about 70.
All new names as well. So well done to everyone.
Well done.
Okay, so let's go. Tommy Sandu. There was 150 people in our league, by the way.
Yeah.
Was there?
You came, Tommy.
Yeah.
144th.
Oh,
I was going to say 43.
Well, that's all right.
Well done.
That's all right. There's six people.
1,823 points.
Only 700 off.
That's the best without really caring. That's the best you've done.
Yeah.
Kedge came. He just crept out the top off. So he's 51 position.
Yeah, I struggled towards the last few weeks.
2,288.
Yeah.
That's still really good, Kedge.
No, I know, but there was a slight wrong tactics that happened towards the end.
Yeah.
Mm. Simon beat both of you, by the way.
Did he?
Simon Sandu beat both of you.
God.
He came 48th. He came 48th. 2,299. And I beat the lot of you.
Well done, sir.
Where am I?
2,002. I think.
It could be 2,300.
No, I think it was 2,002. He was about 80 points ahead of me.
Yeah, well, I was far ahead of.
Oh, well done. Yeah. Well done. Okay, well, thanks for playing along. It's nice, that little FPL community thing. So I do enjoy that. Right, things we've learned this week.
Can I go first?
Yes,
do you know what? This one, I'm telling you, it blew my mind. And I tell you what, I'm not going to take the credit for it, but it was something that I heard on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
Came out maybe a few weeks or maybe a few months ago. with Jimmy Carr. Have you heard that one, Tommy?
I've heard that one.
Go on. No, I don't
it's,
know.
So it's, it, you know will what? Love it because it's all about comedy, bro.
Brilliant podcast. You're gonna love you it. Would love it, yeah.
He, and he's done. Jimmy Carr's doing some brilliant work for the next generation of comedians.
You need to listen to it, Tommy.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's brilliant. So the thing I learned was they were talking about how the dinosaurs were extinct.
How did it get extinct?
How did it get extinct?
The meteor.
Yeah, that's what. Of course it's the meteor.
It was the meteor, but it wasn't the reason why they were extinct. Oh, it wasn't like the meteor hit and then that was it. Bang, that was it. Yeah. No more well.
The floods? Then that
no. So the meteor hit. There was so much sort of dust and disruption in like particles. The atmosphere and particles and this and the other. The temperature of Earth went down a few degrees.
Got
so
cold.
when it goes cold, dinosaurs were reproducing, but only females were being made.
Oh.
Because of the temperature.
Wow.
So cold weather produces more women, more females.
Yeah.
Maybe that.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And that was it. They slowly phased them
last
out.
Last time so I checked in India, it wasn't very
like
hot.
When, it wasn't like when you it wasn't like when you just heard asteroid hit, everyone's
yeah.
gone.
There's like a science, there's science behind it. Okay, cool. Well, that's interesting.
Okay.
Mine's related to the world and the planet as well.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that finally, because it was funny, I was talking about this to somebody as well, and that is that India are going to have their first census since 2011.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, because it's... Yeah, 2011 so, is... Yeah,
when no, that's a long time ago, but because COVID-19 basically made this very challenging and it kind of delayed the whole process.
Yeah.
Because it's such a large process in the country. Check this out. To complete the count, the government is going to have to spend or need to have over 2.7 million workers who are going to go from door to door collecting data from all the houses in India. I don't even know how you even start doing this, right?
Half of them don't even have doors.
Well, exactly. India's population is estimated to be over 1.4 billion, as we know. That's nearly 20% of the world. This is going to be one of, or the biggest, counting efforts in the world. It's going to cost India more than $500 million, making it the most expensive data gathering project India has ever taken on. Do you think they're gonna get everybody on?
No, of course not.
What? But
how people don't have doors?
They have no people don't have doors, and they do this whole thing where they say, "Oh, you know, the biggest democracy is going to vote." But I'm telling you, people have probably voted 10 times when they go to the polls.
Oh, no. I think they're serious with that. They can check that, can't they?
I'm not sure about that.
Well, they do the mark.
People all look the same. Some
they do
of
that
them.
Mark
no,
the name.
No, yeah, no, that mark
people
thing.
People all look the same.
No, I'm telling
if this was a white people podcast, and they went, you know what it's like in India.
Yeah.
They all look the same. They can't tell whether they're voting or not.
No, that finger thing is a scam. You can just go there with another finger. It's India.
Bro, those are Cadbury fingers. We know they're not your real fingers. I know they're brown, but you can't put
it. But it does it. It excites me.
Cadbury's fingers.
Since 2021, imagine how many people have been born since 2011.
Right, I think that's just it. I think unless they do it quickly, every 10 minutes is about 100 million.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How are they going to do
count
this? How?
Count
also, this is the job that you want to enroll in.
Why?
Because it's a job for life, bro.
Oh, but also
this is a good contract.
This is like painting the what's that bridge in San Francisco? The Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Bridge.
Because once you finish painting it, it's time to paint it again.
If we set up a company that is specialist in census forms. And we get this contract of Modi.
Yep, go on then, Kej. Drop him a DM because I know he DMs you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do that.
But could you reckon we could do it? We just need a task force.
No, let's just start with
There's three of us.
I actually think
I'll start in a Gujarat.
I tell you what, I bet you
I don't like going Indians, so I ain't coming.
We got an employment.
You just skip rows of straw houses. Yeah.
We got an employment issue, right? With here in the UK, lack of job. I reckon if Modi went, we are looking to recruit 50,000 people from the UK
to help
travel their way through India, do the census.
Would you do it?
You can stay in these places because you can probably stay for cheap, right? We'll feed you and all that for a year, work on the census.
I think it's a great job.
Really get to know it and the people.
It's a great job. Imagine you get sent to some like random
don't need
village.
People to come in. You can just get people from India to go and do this. They're all looking for jobs anyway.
That's true as well.
Why would they hire us?
Yeah, well.
But they don't know who's in India. That's the problem. At least we're accounted for.
A foreigner.
Yeah, we're accounted for.
Yeah, but I would love for the survey thing to also kind of go, hold on, where's your husband? You go, huh? Right. You know what I mean? He's supposed to be living here. Yeah, he's away. Okay, we'll come back tomorrow. He's still away. Yeah. Where is he? He's in Slough, is where he is. No, he's also, outside the witch.
Also, as we know, there is no way there is just one family per house in India.
No, of course not.
Now, how are you going to account for all of this? Like, this is an incredible project.
I just walk up to one house. Yep, 64. 16.
times that 45. By 45.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's census done.
No, see, you can't do that. It's like dumping your leaflets and paper around. You know, you got to do the way.
That's it. That's the way it's going.
My one is the film, The Legend of Bag of Vance. Remember the film, The Legend of Bag of Vance?
I know what you're going to say.
Do you know this already?
Yeah.
Did you know it from before? Did you hear it literally?
I read this. Where? How do I know this? But I read this somewhere and it said, no, I think I saw it as an Instagram reel.
Yeah, right. So I think that's where I've seen it in the last couple of
weeks.
So The Legend of Bag of Vance is
a film that came out
in 2000.
What is Bag of Vance?
I will tell you.
Well, he's going to
tell you. It's a film that came out in 2000 with Will Smith. Right. And it's with Will Smith and Matt Damon. And Matt Damon is like, I think he's from the war or whatever. He's come back and he takes on a challenge to play a golf game.
Golf.
And Bag of Vance, Will Smith, is his caddy.
Bag of Vance.
Right. Right. And he also, while he's going around the golf game, Bag of Vance is teaching him lessons about life and overcoming challenges and how to do that. But The Legend of Bag of Vance heavily draws on the Bhagavad Gita, the sacred text in Hinduism. Right. Now, the similarities are quite full on.
Yes.
That what's his name? Matt Damon's character's name is Juna.
Yeah.
And obviously in the story, Arjuna. Right? You've got Krishna as Bhagavance. That's the role. Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Okay. Bhagavan. Bhagavance.
Because it's Krishna who's basically the charioteer of Arjuna who guides him through the war field against his brothers.
Okay. And it's the novel's central narrative is a spiritual journey. Yeah, where Juna, through Bhagavance's guidance, seeks to find meaning and purpose beyond the game of golf. Same thing like this. The mystical element is it's the same mysticism, spirituality, reflecting the deep spiritual undertones of the Bhagavad Gita. I just thought, how was that not sort of celebrated more at the time?
Yeah,
maybe it was already obvious.
Because social media wasn't around, isn't it? We need you to do an influencer post.
But I'm just saying this, but Ken, you've always said if Marvel actually properly got hold of those amazing old Hindu-like spirituality,
it's a no-brainer. Yeah, I mean, you see artificial images of like Ganesh being like a warrior and all this kind of stuff. It's a no-brainer. I don't know why.
But also, that stuff's so deep. So coming back to slightly what you did about the podcast and the whole Joe Rogan thing and all that, and they're realizing actually the pyramids and all that, ancient civilizations and what was really going on in India, how clever were the people of Arabia, and how so much maths and science comes from like the Middle East. I think Joe Rogan said it on the podcast many times, he's gone, well, whoever was there in that Middle East and India and South Asia, whatever you're gonna, he goes, they were just ahead. The Ayurvedic medicines and all that, my back pain stuff is amazing because it's drawing upon something that much more cleverer people than our dumbasses knew about.
Right.
And that I find amazing.
And going back to the Middle East, we need to talk about this, obviously. We've got the chocolate, so go and watch the video.
Yeah, we posted a video of the Hairy Daddy chocolate, the chocolate that everybody wants.
Official review.
And by the way, there's one quick thing about Dubai that I never said, because I just want to big up the people before we leave. There was a guy in Dubai who came up and he went, can I just say, I absolutely love the podcast. And I went, oh, brilliant, I'm so glad you like listening to that in Dubai. Yeah. I said, what's your name? He went, no. I went, what? He went, no. I went, what do you mean? I went, no, what's your name? He goes, I listen all the time. I went, yeah. He goes, I tell you my name, you're going to take the piss out of me. Oh, you'll find some reason, you'll tell everyone he spat in my ear, he's got smelly breath.
Yeah.
And I went, no.
I told you guys are so intimidating.
That same fella came up to me and goes, I don't want to say hello to you.
Right, there you go.
But if it was Kedji, he would have come up to me.
And kicked your nipples.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So you don't know his name?
No, I don't know his name. But it was the way he just went, no bloody way.
I know his name.
No, yeah, he's a lovely guy though.
He was a lovely guy.
There you go, whoever you are.
I bet it was Hasmuk.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Punjabi fella.
Oh. Harijit.
Maybe.
Suk. Not Hasmuk.
No.
Yeah. But anyway, whoever you are, thank you for listening. Thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Remember, go leave a review. It does help on Apple or on Spotify, wherever you're listening, or any other platforms. Just a little rating of it does go a long way. And I'll take you a few seconds. If you don't mind doing that for us,
please.
That'd be marvelous. And until next week, welcome back, Kedge. It was good to see you this week.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you always.
And until next week, we'll catch you later.
Laters.